Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Profoundly Pointless. My name is Nick Vinzant. Coming up in this episode, intimate photography and Johns.
I have a master's degree in chemistry. I was working in a marketing background, and I had a top secret Playboy career no one knew about. More and more, we're seeing women who are not necessarily doing it as a gift for someone else. They're doing it for themselves. They want to feel confident and comfortable. Or we had a woman who was an avid scuba diver. So she brought like scuba, like the fins and the flippers and the mask and the snorkel.
I want to thank you so much for joining us. If you get a chance, subscribe, leave us a rating or a review. We really appreciate it. Really helps us out. If you're a new listener, welcome to the show. If you're a longtime listener, thank you so much for all of your support. So our first guest has built a nationwide business based on intimate photography. But this isn't erotica, and it's not always sexual. It's really about empowerment. This is boudoir photographer Joanna Tiger. How'd you get into this?
Well, the business sort of happened kind of on accident. I was a top secret Playboy model for many years of my life, and top secret because nobody knew. And I had met a coworker. We were working at a marketing company together, and she was sharing that her husband was overseas. And she wanted to kind of send him some tasteful, fun, flirty photos. And I decided to confide in her that I had modeling experience in this world, and maybe we should try to get photos for her. So she had a photography background. So she talked me sort of through the photography piece. We had another photographer friend join us, and I was doing the posing and helping her get into these, you know, fixing hair and outfits. And we did her photos, and we started showing them to friends and family, and everyone wanted photos. So we were working our full-time job in this marketing agency during the week and doing photo shoots on the weekend. And it just sort of happened organically and naturally from there. I have a master's degree in chemistry. I was working in a marketing background, and I had a top secret Playboy career no one knew about.
So is it erotic? Is it semi-erotic? Like where's the line exactly?
Yeah, I think it's what you want it to be out of the shoot. So, I mean, erotic, you know, there's so many definitions for what that means to you or what that means to another person. So we follow our clients' lead. So wherever they're comfortable going, if they want to do birthday suit, fully nude photos, great. If they're not into that, we don't, you know, we don't push it. We don't ask for it. It's what you make the most of your shoot. You do what you want. So if it's lingerie, or we have some women who come and wear off the shoulder sweaters, or we recently had someone who does roller derby and she brought her skates and all these, you know, things that are specific and important to her. So it's, I just say it's tasteful. There's nothing overtly lewd or, you know, crude about it. And it's what our clients want out of their shoot.
But they're trying to elicit a certain response from the person who is getting the picture, I assume, correct?
Well, the assumption there is that the photos are for someone else when they are not always for someone else. A lot of women are doing this to celebrate milestones in their own life or to, kick off some big change. They come in, they're so nervous, they come out, they feel amazing, and they start making other changes in their life. Or we have a lot of therapists who recommend women who have suffered some sort of sexual assault or sexual trauma who are looking to reclaim their sexual agency. They will come in for a photo shoot because it's a safe, structured environment where you can be vulnerable with other people and be supported through it. So yes, a lot of times it is for other people. It is a gift for someone else, but not always.
Backing up just a little bit, like when we talk about like boudoir photography, what exactly, like what, how would you kind of define what that is?
Well, I think what people think it is sexy photos, lingerie photography. But I think what it actually ends up being is confident building, empowering photo shoots in a supportive, judgment-free space. So it doesn't always have to be lingerie. We have women who will bring in summer dresses or boy shorts and tank tops. Or so it doesn't have to be sexy by what society thinks sexy is. It can be whatever that means to you.
Is it different than intimate photography, or is that the same thing? It's just called something.
I think
different.
It's the same thing. It is an intimate photography experience. Yeah.
How popular is this? Like if we surveyed, let's say, 1 in 10 women, how many of them are getting this done?
I think it's more popular than people know, than people would expect. I think for a long time, it was sort of something that wedding photographers offered to brides as part of their bridal package. So it was sort of this within the bridal party, maybe they knew about it. But now it has really expanded and it's everywhere. Like we operate in 26 different cities and we have competitors in all of those cities. So it's pretty popular. I think if you said, you know, how many out of 10, 6, 7.
That many, We kind of talked about this a little bit, but to kind of put a finger directly on it, right? Like, why do people usually come in? What's the reason that people are going to come in and get these done?
I think it's different by area. Like when we opened our first studio, we were right outside of a military base. So we saw a lot of military wives who were doing it as a gift for husbands who were potentially overseas or serving somewhere. So that's one reason. It's a big part of right now our summer brides are doing it for wedding gifts for their partners. But it's also women celebrating a divorce. They're so happy they're divorced. They want to come in and get these photos done. I mean, we tell women all the time, like, you can do boudoir photography because all the socks matched up coming out of the dryer. Like, there's no right or wrong reason. You can come in for anything. And more we're seeing women who are not necessarily doing it as a gift for someone else. They're doing it for themselves. They want to feel confident and comfortable in their body and have gorgeous images in the end to look at for themselves or potentially share with other people, but it's mostly for themselves.
I kind of get that. I kind of don't get that. Maybe it's just my personality, but like, I got a promotion at work. All right, let's get into the underwear and go take some pictures, right? Like, I get it, but I don't get it at the same time.
I think you have to go through the experience or know someone who's had the experience. Imagine like being, you know, it's a very nerve-wracking sort of, can be very scary and overwhelming to think about. Like if someone showed up in my living room right now and was like, get in your underwear, I'm taking your photo. I'd be like, no, I am not ready. I haven't shaved. My hair isn't what I would want to wear. I'm not wearing the right underwear. Like, no. So the prep work and the preparation that you have to do to get ready for it, both mentally and in outfits and hair and makeup, it can be overwhelming and scary. And am I good enough? And can I do these photos? And will I look good? And oh, maybe I'll have one photo I like. Then you go through this super supportive, empowering, fun, celebratory experience, and you come out and you're like, I'm a flipping rock star. Can't believe I did that. Anytime you overcome nerves, you know, when you come out on that other side of it, you're like, woo, like I did it. I feel so good. I feel amazing. What else can I do? So I think that's where it comes from. Women are just looking to keep like celebration going, looking to celebrate themselves and feel amazing afterwards.
I kind of get the idea is like, I still got it, or I got it, right? Is there like, if you were to say like, okay, my typical client, like, is there an age range? Is there a,
there really
anything
isn't
like that?
We work with women from like in their 20s all the way. We've had 80-year-olds come and shoot with us, like all ages. And my favorite actually, I mean, I can't say favorite because I love all of our clients, but the older women, more mature women who come in to shoot with us are the usually the most fun because they're at a point in their life where they are just, they want to do it. They wish they had done it years ago. They're like, they walk in the door and they are ready. You know, there's not a lot of hesitation. They're just like, where do I go? Where do I take my clothes off? Where are we going? What are we doing? I'm like, they're basically stripping as they come in the door, you know? So.
Are the now does it take a special kind of photographer to do this?
Absolutely. This is like one of the most vulnerable, scary things to walk into. So you not only do you need to have a specific set of sort of photography skills to know, you know, what to capture within the image, but you have to be the most supportive, most loving, most warm, most like instantly become best friends with these women that come in. Like, it's such a vulnerable experience. So you have to create a safe space. So it does take special skills to do this sort of photography.
Do you get people who come in and are just extremely nervous? Like,
I don't know. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I would say that's like 80% of our ladies. They, something inside of them really wants to do this photo shoot, but they are terrified. Rightfully so. You're about to be in your underwear in front of a photographer and a shoot stylist, two women you've maybe never met before, with a camera. It's like, even just saying that makes me, it's scary.
But do men do it? Like, I could just, me personally, I could never see myself like, all right, here we go.
What if your partner wanted the photos, though? What if your partner was like, I would really love you to do these photos for me?
I could never really see that side of myself. I would, but to kind of get to the question, like, do men do it? Because I would think that that's something that, like, probably would not be a lot of men.
No, men do it. In fact, it has its own realm called dudoir. So instead of boudoir, they call it dudoir. And a lot of photographers offer it for men. Men are doing it for their partners. The same reasons women do it for themselves, to have better body image, body positivity, body neutrality. Men are doing it.
All I would see is like, oh, that's looking a little different than it used to, than it's used to look.
Yeah, but that's the thing. You think you're going to pick yourself apart in the photos. You think you're going to see them, and all you're going to focus on are the things that you focus on in the mirror that you're like, oh, I wish this was different, or this isn't as what it used to look like when I was 18. But you don't. You see these photos and you're like, holy moly, that's me? Like, that's what I look like? Yes.
But is it like ultimately at the end of it, right? Like, there's good lighting, there's a good photographer, maybe some editing, right? Like, is it really what the person looks like?
It is really what the people look like. You are correct. The benefit of having a professional photographer, we're natural light photographers, so it's just the sun. We're not using any different lighting. And having someone pose you absolutely makes a difference, but it's still you in the photo. Like, before any editing even happens, our clients see their photos. At the end of their shoot, they see all their photos, and 99% of the time the reaction is, that's me with no editing. That's just me right out of the camera. It's like, yes. And this is how the world sees you. You know, this is how you see yourself in the mirror, and the way you kind of can pick things apart. The rest of the world is not doing that. They're not doing that.
That is one thing that I always kind of wonder. Maybe this is on topic, maybe this is off topic, but the idea of like, right, like, you can look at the lighting that we have doing this. You can look at the pictures that you take. Like, well, which one is really me?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I wonder, is like, do I look like that, or do I look like what I look in the mirror? Right? And I always wonder about that. Like, what do other people actually see? What version of it?
You know, we actually did this. This is going back to my college days, chemistry and physics and all of this. And when you're looking at yourself in the mirror, it's not an accurate representation of what you actually look like, even right now on this, because it's flat. When people look at you, they're not seeing flat. So we did experiments in school where we looked in mirrors that had angles all the way around. You see yourself and you go, oh, I look completely different to other people than I do to myself in a flat mirror.
So when you started, like, when you look at kind of the business aspect of it, I think you said 27 cities. When did it become kind of like, okay, this isn't just side project, so to speak? Like, oh, this is like, oh, I can.
Yeah.
This is a whole thing.
Yeah. Well, we started in Maryland. That was our first state that we opened a studio. And it was my business partner and I for about 2.5-3 years. And in that time, we opened a second location. And then after 3 years, we were really very busy. And it was like, okay, it's decision-making time. And I left my full-time job first to focus fully on the business. And it just has grown since then. So we went into the pandemic with 16 cities, and during the pandemic grew to 26 cities. So why other places were like, you know, really being maybe not expanding, we were able to, because we were kind of slower, we were able to focus more in on the business. We were able to really expand during that time.
So like if you had to put a number on it, on average, you're doing like how many shoots a week, a month, or whatever?
I think we do between like 350 and 400 shoots a month.
Holy crap. Mm-hmm. I really thought you were going to say like 3 to 4 a week.
No,
right?
No.
Like, oh, that's a...
Yeah, but also across 26 cities. So some cities, some cities are busier than others. Like some of our newer cities are growing and we're shooting there less because we're building. And some of our more established cities like Maryland, New York, Philadelphia, DC, those cities are just, there are a lot of shoots happening.
So now when is somebody going to a suit studio, going to people's houses? Like, how does this work?
We have a studio space in each location where we shoot. So you come to us. That way we have, you know, control over the environment and the lighting and all of those things. So each of our locations has a studio where you go and visit. And then within each studio, you will have a photographer who's either trained to be both a photographer and a stylist. So she knows both roles, or you have two individual people, a photographer and then a separate stylist.
The thing that I would imagine is it's like the thing next to the big post bed, right? Like, you know what I'm talking about, right? Like, are there certain poses people do?
There are
positions?
Some,
I don't know.
Yeah. I think like there are some core poses that are sort of staple that most people want to do. So yes, there are sort of, I would say, core poses, but really each shoot is tailored to the person coming in. So for us, before they come in, they do a survey. They let us know their pronouns. They let us know what they're looking for out of the shoot, what they want in the end. Why are they coming in? Is it for a gift for someone else? Is it to celebrate something personal, you know? And then we're really working to sort of tailor the shoot to that. So women will say on there, I am so nervous. I don't have any idea for poses. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm really leaning on you. And then other women will go, I have created a Pinterest board of 50 poses that I have to have. And this is what I want to do in my shoot from start to finish. And so we're prepared for the ones that say, I have no idea. And we're prepared for the ones who say, this is what I want, exactly what I want. So
in the time that you've been doing it, would you say, is it getting more popular than it was before? About the same, going down? Like, where would you kind of see the
trend? I think it's more popular, especially with things like OnlyFans. And we have a whole new market of women and content creators who are looking for a large, you know, pool of photographs to pull from for their jobs, for being content creators and for their OnlyFans and these sort of things. I think it's only growing.
But nobody's like using this for like their LinkedIn.
You might be surprised. We can tell because it'll be a photograph cropped down to just like here. And the other thing we see them for is for dating profiles. So like I said, it doesn't have to be lingerie. You can wear, it's not quite lifestyle photography where where it's very, it's not lifestyle photography. It's not professional headshot photography, but you can use a portion of your shoot in like an off the shoulder sweater or a tank top or something that you can use as a profile picture on dating sites.
Are you ready for some harder/listener-submitted questions?
I am.
How sexual would you say that this is?
It's not actually sexual. I would say like on a 1 to 10, it's like a 0 or a 1. It is actually work. Posing is, I mean, I can tell you from my Playboy shoots and from working with so many clients, posing for these photos is, the photo looks amazing and sexy, but the work that goes into it is work. Like after a shoot, you're a little sore. It's not really sexual. It's not sexually charged. It's more empowering. It's more, you got this. You can do this. You are doing this. Look how amazing you are.
Area of the country that seems to embrace it the most, area of the country that seems to embrace it the least. Like, do you notice patterns across your different locations?
Yes. I think our bigger cities, like New York City right now, is embracing boudoir. It's one of our most popular cities. And that has been not a recent change. It's always been a busier city, but in recent months, it is really picked up. And then we have tried to work in some smaller suburb cities, and those are a little more difficult. Yeah. So I think like our New York City, our Philadelphia, Chicago, San Diego, these locations, these bigger cities are really embracing it. I think the suburbs are a little bit harder.
Do you see any differences between like the one that I would think of, right, is like the Midwest or the South, like the Bible Belt?
Yeah.
Are they like secretly against it or secretly all about it?
I think I wouldn't say there's much difference. It might be that they're secretly really into it. People don't know they're doing it. I don't know necessarily where the photos are going after or who they're sharing them with or who's seeing them. But I think everyone wants, women everywhere want to feel confident, comfortable in their body, in their skin. They want to have photos that they can look at and go, I mean, think about how many selfies you take on your phone and you look through them. You know, people want to have nice photos of themselves that they enjoy looking at. I think that's universal.
Most frequent request.
There are specific poses I think every woman wants to do, and we name all of our poses. So we have a pose called Babe, which is like, I can't even do it for you, but it's a pose everybody wants. Everyone asks for that. You'll see it on our Instagram. And I think most women, the biggest request in their photos is just like, I want to look good. I want to feel good. I want these photos to look amazing. And that's, we hear that all the time. And also how nervous they are.
Most unusual request. Like one that came in like, I don't know about that.
Well, you know, unusual. I don't know. We've had some really fun props come into shoots. We had a woman once who brought a stack of post-it notes and she kind of posted them all over the room. And the story there was that she had met her partner at work and they used to leave really flirty post-it notes on each other's desk at work. So she incorporated post-it notes into her shoot. Or we had a woman who was an avid scuba diver. So she brought like scuba, like the fins and the flippers and the mask and the snorkel and wore that as part of her shoot. It was so fun, but very unusual. You don't normally think of like boudoir photography and snorkels.
People are people. That's and I great. Just could never imagine that. Like, oh yeah, baby, here's my scuba.
I know, but you know what? She loved it and it was a big part of who she was and she wanted to bring it into the photo. So, you know, It's so fun to be on that side of it too and hear all the stories behind what people are bringing and why they're bringing them. They're really amazing.
Have you ever done shoots at specialty locations?
We have. We definitely have. We had a woman once who she wanted to throw a party for her friends and do photos, each one having their own individual shoot, but she had a gorgeous farm with a big, beautiful barn, and all these fun settings. So we have done things outside of the studio. Not really in recent days. It's mostly in the studio these days. Yeah. But we would love, like, I love the idea of like, oh, let's go do, a weekend shoot in the Bahamas. You know, let's have a bunch of ladies come and we'll do photos all weekend and hang out on the beach. That sounds amazing.
I could just still never imagine like a big group of guys doing that. Like, come on, Steve.
Yeah. Right? Like I don't know so much about the men's side of it. We're all female company and we work with female identifying or non-binary individuals only, or, you know, trans women. We don't work with male identifying individuals. So I can't really speak to that, but I know in our world, there are photographers who are doing boudoir photography or boudoir photography for men all the time.
Here's one of the more ironic ones. Mm-hmm. How often do you misspell boudoir?
All the freaking time. All the time. We started the business in 2009, and I don't know why we did that to ourselves. Boudoir is, it's hard to spell, and it's so hard for other people to say. We've heard every version of the word boudoir. I mean, every version of it.
It's tough. It's B-O-U-D-O-I-R, uh-huh. Right?
Yeah.
Booter.
I know we've heard it all. Boot. I mean, I can't even say some of the things we've heard. But you know, it's part of the charm, I guess.
How much editing would you say you generally do to the pictures?
Editing is by client. So we follow our client's lead. We have some clients who, well, first, all of our photos will get edited to remove distracting items like wall switches or outlets or to adjust color, hue, white balance. That's standard on all images. But as far as image editing bodies or editing the client in the image, it's up to our client. They tell us how little or how much they want.
Do you see, like, maybe you've seen some of this stuff, maybe you haven't. I've only seen, like, various. Like, do you think that AI is going to play a role in this coming forward?
I think so. I've seen some AI generated editing programs. My only hesitation with that is, where are those, especially in this space, where are those photos going? Once they are uploaded to be edited or worked on, where are they after that? That I think for me, that would be a big security issue. It's not something we're doing, because who knows where the images are going to go once they're in that space. But it is definitely, we know photographers and regular photography who are using AI to edit.
What would you say to someone who wants to do this but is very nervous about it?
I would say it is so normal to be nervous. I never tell someone, don't be nervous. There's no reason to be nervous. I'm a comedian. I get on stage often and perform. There's never a time that I don't walk out on stage where I'm not nervous. And I do it often. Where I was a Playboy model, there was never a time I went into a shoot where I wasn't like, here's the time they're going to know I'm a fraud. They're going to find out I'm just a chemistry nerd that I don't know what I'm doing, and they're never going to want to shoot with me again. There was never a time I didn't feel like that. So it's okay. Just know that it's normal to be nervous. We're going to be right there by your side to like help you breathe through those nerves. And you'll notice if 5 minutes into the shoot, they're gone. They're just gone. You're just you, and you're taking photos with your two new best friends who are hyping you up and supporting you. So normal to be nervous. Be nervous. It's okay.
How much do you charge? How much should I pay for this? And I think that they mean in that sense of like, right, like, what's a price point that you would say like, oh, that's going to be somebody who's capable, right? Like not getting this done by Jan who's tried $20.
Yeah,
like
we
that,
talk
right?
about this often in the business about, you know, showing up to Steve's house and he has a disposable camera, but he only charged you $20, right? So, you know, it's a yeah. wide range for us. Because we're so focused on giving this experience to as many individuals as we can, an hour photo shoot is $55, which is crazy low in the scope of things. But you can expect to spend anywhere from like where we are at 55 up to 3, 4, 5,000, depending on how long you shoot, how many images you have, what products you order. You know, some photographers charge by sets, how many different sets they use in your shoot. It's a huge range.
So where does the kind of, in the business aspect of it, like where is the money, so to speak, made? Is it made off the amount of time that the photographer is shooting in buying the pictures or the editing? Like where is
Yeah,
kind of like-
I think it's a broad stroke. So some photographers will sell packages of that are like 3 or 4,000, and that includes your photo shoot, your outfits, hair, makeup, an album, digital images, you know, it might include a whole host of things. And then other photographers like us, we're on the lower side for the photo shoot experience. And then if you want to own images from that, I mean, our package includes 2 edited images. So we want you to come in, have the experience, and we want you to have photos from it, no matter what. And then if you choose to add more, that might be where more of the cost comes in. You know, it's a wide range.
That's honestly pretty much all the questions that I have. Is there anything that you think that we missed or?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
Where can people get a hold of you? Where can they find out more about the business?
Okay. Our website is 3boudoir. I'm going to spell it BOUDOIR. So you can find us at 3boudoir.com, 3boudoir on Instagram, 3boudoir on Facebook, 3boudoir on TikTok. You can find us all those places.
Congratulations. It sounds like it's going well, right?
It is. And I love my flipping job. Like if you had told me when I was in the lab doing all this chemistry stuff and then secretly being a Playboy model that my Playboy career was going to come into play much later in life into everything that I do, I would have never believed you. And here it is. And I freaking love it.
Oh, I missed this one. Most common outfit that people wear.
Most common outfit. This, wow. I would say probably like, matching bra and panty sets are most common, but I don't really even know if that's fair to say because, man, the outfits run the gamut. It's everything from we had a woman recently in full latex head to toe. I mean, not that that's the most common, but we do see latex and we see summer dresses and we see so much. We see everything you can imagine.
Do you see any differences in people if they're coming in for their partner versus themselves?
I think the people who are coming in at their partner's request may be the ones who are a little more nervous, a little more like, I'm only doing this for him or her. I don't know what I'm doing, you know. Maybe so. But the fact that they're there, maybe there's, you know, a piece of them that wants to do the shoot too. They just need a little extra love and support and encouragement. Yeah, but I think they're probably maybe a little more nervous.
I want to thank Joanna so much for joining us. If you want to connect with her, we have linked to her on our social media accounts. We're Profoundly Pointless on Threads, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. And we've also included her information in the episode description. The YouTube version of this interview will come out on August 3rd at 4:30 p.m. specific. I always say specific. It's so easy to say specific instead of Pacific, but it's 4:30 p.m. Pacific. Okay, now let's bring in John Shull and get to the pointless part of the show. Could you ever see yourself getting intimate photos of yourself taken?
No, actually, I don't. I don't know how I've made love before. I feel bad for the person on the opposite end.
I've never even I think a lot of people probably do, right?
I mean, when I think about it, I'm like, man, you know, and I'm not really even trying to be funny. I'm just like, you think about some relationships. I mean, there are some people who are champions because I'll just say that.
But have you ever had a relationship where you think like, man, you know what? I maybe didn't satisfy them.
Like, so when we say satisfy, you mean strictly one way, right?
Yeah. You didn't get the job done in the physical realm.
I mean, there's been moments. I wouldn't say relationships, but there's been instances where you're like, yeah, I know I didn't do a good enough job.
Yeah. I'm going to say that there's definitely been moments, but I can probably bat maybe 7 or 8 out of 10. Especially once you've been like, I mean, I've been with the same woman for 10 years, right? Like eventually you'd learn the combination to the safe.
Listen, I need your opinion on something. Relationship related, okay?
Okay.
So my wedding anniversary is, so we record this on Mondays. My wedding anniversary is August the 5th. It's the upcoming Saturday.
Okay.
It also happens to be SummerSlam, WWE SummerSlam in Detroit. Okay. I bought tickets. I will be going to SummerSlam. However, okay, a couple of weekends ago, my wife goes, you know, I know you were thinking about staying downtown Saturday. How about you stay downtown Friday and Saturday? And she booked me two nights, and it was not cheap, but she booked me two nights on our wedding anniversary weekend so I can go nerd out to SummerSlam. So is it a trap? Am I getting divorced? I don't know what to think right now.
Well, she's probably got another dude. She wants both nights, right? Because you're not getting the job done, so she wants... She wants him to come over both nights.
You know, at this point in my life, I don't even know if I would be that angry, man. Just
yeah, like how far into a relationship would you be okay if like somebody else was coming over and getting the job done, but you got a free weekend?
I mean, that's tough, man.
You can do whatever you want, right? Okay, you can do whatever you want, absolutely whatever you want for a week, but some other dude or significant other or whatever you're interested in is going to come over and take care of business.
I mean,
you get your own week. How many years into the relationship before you're going to be like, you know what? I'll take that deal.
I mean, I joke. I'm not entirely sure I could ever do that. I don't know. I just can't picture that happening. I don't think my wife would ever do that, first off. But secondly, I feel like I'd be like, yeah, do it, honey. And then as soon as like someone showed up in the driveway, I'd start firebombing their car or something.
But you're not going to see this person, hear about it whatsoever. I'm going to say 25 years. Oh, man. 25 years, I would start to consider it. I'd be like, you know what?
Man, that's tough. That is a good one.
And it's a special event. You get to go like the World Cup.
Oh, God.
You get to go to the Olympics, something that only happens every once in a while.
Year,
you get to go do it.
Year seven.
You don't get any questions asked about what you were doing while you were gone, though.
Oh, I mean, I'll say 20. 20, 25 is about right. I mean, I feel like by then your kids are, if you choose to have children, kids are grown. And it's just you and your spouse or significant other.
Yeah. But the problem is, by the time the kids are out of the house, you can probably go ahead and do that stuff anyway. I don't think that I would ever accept that deal, but I would start to think about it around 25 years. Other people, like, man, they have completely open relationships. I don't know how somebody could do that. That, to me, I could, like, ooh.
Yeah. I like I said, I talk a big game, but I think if my wife was to actually present me with that, like, hey, I'd like to get it on with somebody else, you know, while you're gone or whatever. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it.
What if he was a quarter of the man you are?
No, I think I'd want him to be triple the man that I am.
You'd rather have him be a bigger man than you.
I mean, listen, if she's going to do it, I mean, might as well be worth her while.
Oh, I'd go the completely opposite way. I'd rather have my wife go behind my back with a man who was much smaller.
No, I mean, have it be any big time celebrity you can imagine. The Rock, for all I care. Have it be him.
Would you rather have it be a celebrity, somebody you know, or just a random person?
I feel like a celebrity would be more justifiable than just a rando.
No, I would be pissed off about a celebrity. Because that would be like you threw this away for just this, like a thing that was never going to turn into anything.
I do think there would be a part of me, though, that if it was a celebrity where I was like, okay, all right, I mean, I get it. Leonardo DiCaprio wanted to have a fun night. Okay, sure, whatever, I guess.
But if you're like, maybe this is just my personality, but I would feel like at some point enough is enough, right? Like, man, I've had 72 different burger restaurants, right? Like, I don't need a different burger every single night. You know what I mean? Like, wouldn't you, by the age of, like, 40 or 50, just be kind of, ooh, you know, I'm a little tired here.
I've always thought those numbers are complete lies when you hear about.
Oh, yeah. Like, there's Wilt Chamberlain that would, like, he said 20,000, but they would average out to 3 people a day for 20 years. Like, that's not even possible.
Or like Jack Nicholson, like, I mean, drugs and alcohol can only get you so many, you know, partners, for God's sakes. I mean, I guess for Leonardo, at least he's good looking. But
you would have to just be like, I don't know how that situation, if I was completely alone in my house all the time, nonstop, every day, I couldn't, you know, browse the internet 3 or 4 times a day. So I don't know how that's even possible that would work out with people. Those numbers have to be like,
I mean,
I'd give a fourth of it is probably the real truth.
I mean, listen, if you're a fourth of 20,000, you're still having a lot of fun in your life.
Yeah, but I don't know how your private parts haven't just fallen off at that point, right? Like, if you look at the statistics behind STDs, like, it's pretty high up there. So if you're banging that many, like, you probably got a little bit of everything.
Especially back when he was doing it. I mean, back when things kind of ran around, you didn't know a lot back then or weren't educated enough as a world.
Oh, right. But if he's got 5 inches, 4.9 of that is straight disease.
Just crab infested.
Just nasty. Yeah. Oh, let's move on.
So last week we had a great segue to shout outs. Are we going to use this to go into shout-outs? Is that your question? Was that it?
I don't know what you're talking about. I really honestly don't even know what you're talking about. I already forgot.
All right, good. So here's some shout-outs.
Is that your record player?
It is, yes.
God, you're a snob.
Anyways.
You are a that is the most old-timey-looking wooden record player that you could have possibly gotten. John, for people who maybe are not familiar, John is a snob. John is a beer snob. John is a music snob. John is a snob. And if you can see his record player, it looks like it was made in the 1820s. And you're a snob.
First off, two explanations. One, that is actually a pretty contemporary looking new record player. I wish
I'm
I had.
Sure it was, I'm sure it was made school. New, but you bought it purposely so it looked old.
I mean, I bought it for the wood finish, yes. Secondly, I don't have to drink 10 Busch Lights anymore or, you know, do whatever. I am fine. I have earned my place to be a beer snob. I can have one or two very nice craft beers and enjoy my evening. I do not have to prove myself anymore. That's where I am.
I just want you to admit that you're a snob.
I mean, I think I've said several times on here that I'm a beer snob, yes.
Yeah, but you didn't. No, I'm not talking about just beer. I'm talking about your taste. You have snobby taste as you're picking your nose. Get it?
I have like a hair up there. I'm trying to like do it like, discreetly. But well, you call me out on it.
Yeah, dude, it's pretty easy to tell if somebody's picking your nose. There's no way to hide if you're picking your nose.
Speaking of, I told a group of people the other day that I would get my nose waxed.
Okay, do it. Film it.
I think I would. We've talked once again on this podcast about how I don't grow hair, but I grow sometimes my nose hairs like curl around that middle part of your nose and like they can touch.
Oh,
like little crab hands.
That's disgusting. Well, just tidy it up. I don't know why you would get that waxed. That's one of the easiest things to tidy up, man. Yeah. Just get a nose trimmer.
I'm going to get a nose job and a wax.
I'm surprised you don't have like a special nose barber shop that you go to with your snob taste.
I go to
that you're a snob. Just say you have snobby taste. That's all I want to hear.
I don't have snobby taste.
You have a wooden record player behind you.
It's actually one of the cheapest ones you can buy, and it's pretty contemporary.
Snobs. No person who isn't a snob would use the word contemporary.
Anyways, I'm sorry that I use words that you don't recognize. All right. Can we get back to shout outs that are not STD affiliated? Julio Smith, Hannah Salamanca, Rachel Baker, Victoria Antoinette, Caitlin Mollard, Lance Gomez, Chelsea Rose. A lot of the female interest this week. That's sure did a lot with this podcast, I'm sure, as we talked about STDs.
We actually have about half of our audience is women.
It's probably because we're so good looking. Kenny Alvarez, Nolan Robinson.
Or because we're non-threatening, androgynous looking males, right? Like these guys ain't going to worry about them for shit.
And Tyrone Anderson finally got through my shout outs, but there they are. All right, so let's get to a little bit of profoundly pointless fact or fiction.
No, okay.
Anyways, all right, so let's see. So if you haven't tuned in yet, I basically asked Nick four things, and you've done pretty well, actually, differentiating what's fact and what isn't. One time you even were wrong, and you still took it to the masses, and you and your cult followers still thought you were right, which you weren't. But regardless, we'll start off with this one here. Let's see. Cracking your knuckles will give you arthritis.
No.
That is actually true.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. You're right. Absolutely right. So really cracking your – oh, boy. Let me get back in focus here. Actually, hold on.
It's going to be a while.
What is wrong with this thing?
Because your head's bright red and the camera doesn't know where to focus.
Anyways, yes, cracking your knuckles does not give you arthritis. Actually, it really has nothing to do with your joints in general. All right, let's go to another one here. Dueling is legal in Paraguay.
I know it's legal some places. I have no idea about the how would I know if it's legal in Paraguay?
You just have to answer the question, Nicholas.
Yes.
Wow. Fantastic. According to this article that was put on CNN about 10 years ago, it's only legal, however, if both parties are registered blood and organ donors.
Oh, that's a good idea for them. Could you imagine like going through all that? It's like, all right, it's time to duel. Well, it wasn't. No, you got to be. I've got no problem with that. If two people wanted to fight it out to the death and have a duel, I got no problem with that. I got no problem with that. I don't generally have a problem with people getting in a fight with each other. Like, I would never be like, if two guys were having an argument and then got into a fight and it was just over like something benign, right? Like not something illegal had transpired before that. But if two guys just got in a fight, I'm not calling the cops. Like, I'm just going to watch it.
I just wonder, like
what, oh, they're fighting. So, like,
when I see this, I wonder, like, what are they dueling with? Like, are they using 9mm? Are they using revolvers? Samurai swords?
If you were going to have a duel, how would you do it?
I would go with a like a bullet, like a gun. I would not want to get – I'll show up to a gunfight. I do not want to walk into a sword fight.
I would do it where they got to be like old-timey pistols.
I mean, you're going to need a pretty big bullet to get through my carcassy ass.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's mostly soft.
You kidding me? All right. Next one here.
I got no problem with dueling. I got no problem with dueling. I think if, like, if it was legal in Washington where I live and I was watching, I would actually go and watch it. Like if they had the dueling grounds because dueling was legal, I'd go watch it. Everybody would. That'd be the biggest spectator sport in the world.
So for some reason, this one was actually provided to me while I was talking to the podcast with a couple of friends. And I didn't know if this was true or not. So I'm curious to see what you say. But your stomach can dissolve razor blades. True or false?
Oh, you got like acid. That's some of the strongest acid in the world is in your stomach, man. I would say yes.
3 for 3. Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, your stomach acid. I don't remember what the scale is, but there's like the pH scale. Mm-hmm. And your stomach's like a 2. It's like one of the highest acids around.
It's quite incredible. Which makes you think, no wonder the acid is so strong because all the chicken wings I eat.
Just think about it. You got to be able to burn through, man.
All right, last one here. Walt Disney's body is cryogenically frozen.
I don't think that that's true.
That is not true. It is a myth that has been proven to not be true multiple times. But apparently, if anyone was wondering, he's been cremated and his physical body's long gone.
Well, do you want to be cremated?
Yes.
Just straight up cremated, or do you want to be like planted as a tree?
I mean, as of this point in my life, I'm fine with just being cremated. I think it's way cheaper. It's less of a hassle on your family. You know, I don't know. I don't really, why would I, my thought on it is why would I want to be put into a box, put into the earth where I'm going to decompose anyways, probably get eaten by things that eat through the box.
I mean, otherwise you're just going to be turned into an urn and put on somebody's counter.
I mean, maybe Big Lebowski me. Just throw me into Donnie's face on a cliff somewhere.
I for some reason, like I could be turned into like a bush. Like a blueberry bush. Like something that produces fruit. Mix me in with a bush or something.
I mean, that would be kind of cool, I suppose. But knowing me, like I would get taken out by a hurricane or something. Well, there goes Jones. Fat ass. He's dead.
But do you have any relatives that you go and visit their gravesite?
No.
I don't either. I would if I lived in my hometown. But otherwise, no. I don't have anybody that I would go and visit.
Yeah, I don't. I don't, no. A lot of my family is buried in Kentucky. So I wanted to go to visit them. I have to drive 10 hours. But no, I don't even think I would if I lived there, to be honest. Sorry, family.
I'm always surprised that you have family in Kentucky.
Does that surprise you? Look at me.
Seem like more of a northern person.
Oh, thank you. With my red face?
Yeah, like you're allergic to the sun.
Well, that is true.
Because you're too busy staying inside in your basement listening to your fancy records.
That is not true, actually. All right, are we ready for the...
Oh, okay. He's on it. It's time. The Outlaw Candle Connoisseur rides again. Candle of the Month. Still can't do a horse. Every once in a while, I can like.
Your whole system shakes when you do it.
That sounds like a horse.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
All right. Well, I was waiting for you to finish. So this was supposed to be a joke. First off, that I got about a year ago from a friend, a coworker actually, Who knew that I liked candles? So we'll start off with a company. It's called the Magic Candle Company. I believe they are online only, but they specialize in kind of a different scents you don't you wouldn't expect. So though I have three of their scents, I picked out and I lit them all in the month of July on purpose. I'm gonna go with Tiki Terrace as my candle of the month by Magic Candle Company. It magically transports you to an island.
Are you sure it's not Tiki Terrace?
Could be Terrace. Could be Terrace. I was, you know, that's one of those words. You don't know if it's Terrace, Terrace.
Well, how is it spelled? You could look it up.
It's Terrace, Terrace.
Terrace.
Thought I would give a little substance to the candle. But
Tell us about the candle. What's the smell? How's the burn time?
I want everyone to just take a second here. Close your eyes. We're going to transport to a magical place with hot Polynesian men holding tiki things. And it smells like burnt ashes in ocean and suntan lotion. And it's fantastic. I know it's... in all seriousness, it's one of those candles that I've been waiting. Like I had to go deep into the back shelf, and I was like, you know what, these look fun. I'll try them. And this one was just it was good. I don't know how else to explain it. It's pretty quick. Like they're not very big candles. It was like a 10-hour burn, but I did let it burn all the way through. It's only one wick, a wood wick, which creates a natural cracking sound. But yeah, they're good. I mean, it was refreshing. Put it on, had a couple of beers, watched a TV show. It's good. Good.
There, I can't imagine a lot of wood wick candles. Wood wick.
They're starting to come around. A lot of the small independent candle makers use them. They provide a little more natural feel, sound. But yeah, check them out. Magic Candle Company. They have plenty of different scents, but a Tiki Terrace is the one that I recommend. I got the large, or I burned, I think the large candle, which is probably $20 or so. Went pretty fast, so might want to grab a few if you're going over there.
I'm not familiar with the sounds of different wicks. Could you give us an example of what the wood wick sounds like?
Oh, I mean, I don't know if I can do it justice, but it's like,
oh, don't stop.
Oh, God. You asked for it.
I didn't realize it was one of the worst sounds imaginable.
I mean, I don't know. It's hard to recreate, but think of being by a fire and you hear the crackles of the wood with the...
So there's like a...
There's not a lot of hissing. There's a lot of cracking. Like...
Oh, yeah. That's not like... Because the sound that you were making sounds like what it sounds like when somebody dips something in ranch and then eats it. Like, oh, that's just disgusting sounding. Like, that's gross. Oh, I hate that sound.
Anyways, Tiki Terrace Magic Candle Company. Check them out. I actually don't know a lot about them other than I got a couple candles, maybe as a gag gift, but they ended up turning out to be fantastic. So,
how jealous were you of the fact that I walked past a candle-making studio the other day?
I would love it, actually, if we could ever take this podcast to where I could just do candles. That would be a dream. Come on, man. You know what? We should get candles with you and mine, with you and me on them.
Just our faces? Face candle?
Yeah, profoundly pointless. Like, you know, we can have little autographs on it. Maybe face.
Our pictures on the candle?
Yeah.
Do they make candles like cakes where you could get your face as a candle?
Oh, yeah. Go on Pinterest, Etsy. I mean, there's all kinds of companies. I actually was just gifted, and I thought about making this the candle of the month, but it wouldn't make any sense, really. But a Pinterest, my wife had like a custom candle made, and it's The Rock for SummerSlam because my wife is the best.
God.
Anyways.
Yeah, well... Man, yeah, she definitely wants you to leave for the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
To have a real man come in.
I mean, she's going to have...
Like, I'll go Friday and Saturday, actually. Maybe even Thursday. You know what? Thursday through Monday. Just go ahead and take your time.
Aren't you flying in? Aren't you coming in?
I would like, that's one of those events. Now, if it was WrestleMania, I would like, that's one of those events that like, oh, I would like to attend that. I don't even care about going in, but I would like to attend for the atmosphere. Like the Super Bowl or the finals or the World Cup or the WrestleMania, like something that you would be like, oh, I bet that's a pretty cool atmosphere. I could care less about the event, but the atmosphere would be pretty cool.
I mean, that's it, right? I mean, that's, yeah. Being there around all of our people, and I, you know, and by our people, I mean nerds, wrestling nerds. I'm in it. I'm in it to win it completely.
Well, represent us. Represent us proud. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yes, I am ready. Yes.
All right. So our top five is top five Johns. What's your number five?
So I am 1 through 5. Just John Scholl. Just 1 through 5. No, I'm kidding. So this was actually a lot harder than I thought it was.
There's a big difference between modern Johns and the historical Johns. I think that John is one of the names that has been declining over time. But I only put in Johns that were influential in my lifetime.
Okay. I'm similar, I suppose. My number five is John Stewart.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean,
I don't have an issue with that.
Talk show host for years, and now he's become an advocate for many, you know, actually important things. So, you know, it might seem a weak number five, but when you think about it, he deserves at least a place somewhere near the top five Johns.
My number five is John Cena. I think that he is somebody who not as influential as a lot of other Johns, but he did some things that were kind of cultural iconic moments, right? Like You Can't See Me. So many people still like that was a big deal. He's a pretty famous person. He's a pretty famous John.
He is. I don't think he deserves to be on the list, but my number four is a tie because I couldn't decide which musician to put on. So I'm going to put them both at number four, and that's going to be John Lennon. Can you guess the other John?
Probably my number four of John Denver.
No, Johnny Cash is my number four.
Oh, my number four is John Denver. I think that John Denver is probably a more influential person than Johnny Cash. Maybe not as good of a musician. I don't know enough about music, but I think that more people know who John Denver is than Johnny Cash.
I would say for all three of those individuals, maybe John Lennon not included, but it's really like a genre thing, right? Like anyone country, bluesy, maybe rocky knows Johnny Cash. John Denver, pop, folk, rock, but
it's country.
But I mean, he was more of a folk, you know. I don't know. It's hard to say. They're both icons. They both deserve to be on the list. John Lennon is just, I mean, he's just, he'll be remembered forever as maybe the best John musician ever.
See, but he's one of the ones that, like, I know that he's famous, but I don't know what he actually supposedly did besides being a member of the Beatles.
I mean,
I don't know if he wrote a lot of the songs, or I know that he was kind of famous, socially famous as well. But the thing with Johnny Cash is, like, I know Johnny Cash's name and his look far more than I couldn't actually, if you were to give me a quiz between is this a Willie Nelson song or a Johnny Cash song, I don't think I would know. I'm not sure if I know any Johnny Cash songs.
Well, that's absurd. And to save you from getting ridicule, yes, John Lennon, probably more famous as a songwriter than an actual musician, but I only say that just because he was an amazing songwriter. Obviously, the Beatles broke out. Imagine is one of the greatest songs ever. That's why it's withstood the test of time. And then obviously he was a socialite.
I didn't know that he did that. I didn't realize that was him.
And the way that he was killed was, you know, obviously just another cement of his legacy.
Okay, what's your number three?
Well, this one is a complete homer pick, but I'm putting it out there anyways. And my number three is John Candy.
Oh, okay.
Not that well known, probably internationally. Definitely not today, I'm sure. But man, when he was at the top of his game, you know, back in the late 80s, early 90s, he was definitely an actor that, you know, you could probably go to 20, 30 countries around the world and they would know who he was.
he was that's I actually have John Candy as my number two.
Oh, I think
he's one of those actors along the lines of Tom Hanks, Robin Williams, that's just universally beloved.
I mean,
like, nobody's got to complain about John Candy.
I mean, you can't say that he was the most healthiest of humans, but he was apparently a great person.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that there's a lot of actors that you can kind of point to the downside of them, that they were jerks or that they were this or that they were that. But John Candy seemed to be universally beloved.
So what's your number three?
My number three is going to have to be, I think, Johnny Depp. I'm not a huge fan, but I think that you have to acknowledge that he's pretty famous.
Yeah, I mean, how many major franchises has he been a part of other than, you know, obviously Pirates? My thing with him is he's like Nicolas Cage to me. Like, he's going to go down as one of the greatest ever, but it's at the same point, it's like he had such an up and down career. If he didn't get that Disney partnership like Nicolas Cage did with the Lost Treasure movies or whatever they're called, Last Treasure.
National Treasure.
And I know a lot of people out there, especially some of my friends, are going to be rolling their eyes right now and saying that Depp and Nicolas Cage's best stuff was in the 90s before he went mainstream. That's not my point. My point is, would he be remembered if he didn't get that Disney contract to do the series of Pirates movies?
Oh, I see what you're saying. That's kind of a hard question, right? Like, would that definitely launched him to another level higher than Nicolas Cage? Like, people knew who he was. Nicolas Cage is not one of the greatest actors of the generation, right? Like, come on now. That's ridiculous.
No, definitely not.
Johnny Depp's a little bit more famous. Are we at your number one?
No, we're at my number two.
Oh, okay.
Which is Johnny Carson.
Yeah, you can make an argument he kind of started that whole late night thing, but it was before my time.
Well, yes, once again, we sound like old curmudgeons. I know probably a lot of the younger generation that listens is going to go, who is that? But he was like the founding father of late night television. I mean, anybody from 1980 on.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, I mean, I had to put him somewhere, and I feel number two was a good spot for him.
Yeah, John and I are both childs of the 80s, right? So Johnny Carson was still probably doing it when we were. I remember, if I was to think of that show, I kind of remember Jay Leno's run more than Johnny Carson's. It was like Jay Leno's
when we were growing up. I'm looking it up right now. So he was,
I bet he did it till 92.
Hold on one second here.
Oh, I'm actually interested. Like what his run was.
I know if I was good at this, I'd be able to find it.
Do you know how to search on the internet?
Yeah, I know how to search the internet. So it was October 1st of 1962 to May 22nd of 1992. So,
ooh,
30 years.
I was right. I said 92.
Yeah, and then I think Leno took over probably shortly thereafter, if not immediately, and then Leno did it until what? Mid 2000s, 2010s?
Yeah. So I never liked the guy who's doing it now. I'm not even going to mention his name, but it's pandering, and it's like
he doesn't even get a mention.
Who's your number one?
Oh,
you can't say John Cena.
No, it is not John Cena. Stupid. I'm just going to say John Madden.
He's not number one, man.
But
I mean, he's pretty influential in that field.
But multiple fields, from a football coach and football to being a spokesperson for some of the most catchiest products. Tough acting, ten acting, boom! To a video game franchise, but not just boys, but I mean girls too. I mean Madden from what 1997 until today is still, I mean, I don't know the numbers, but it has to be one of the highest selling sports franchises ever. And he hasn't been involved with it probably since the late 1990s.
Well, I mean, he is dead.
Yes, he is dead now, but yeah, I don't know. It just made sense to me.
I can buy this argument that for our generation and younger, he might be the most influential John in some ways. Everybody does know who he is. My number one is kind of along those lines. And I think that not only is he the number one John, but he is the singular talent on this list, is John Williams, the composer who did Star Wars, Harry Potter, E.T., all those things. I think John Williams is the number one John of our lifetime.
I mean, John Williams is he's yes. If you're going to go deep, that's a deep dive.
That's a deep dive pick, but I think he's the number one John.
He's definitely an honorable mention. If and maybe educated folks who like research Johns would say him, but just as like regular commonplace Johns, no, he wouldn't be. You know. He's a behind-the-scenes guy. No one knows.
He's not a behind. He's a behind-the-scenes guy that was so singularly talented that he was elevated to common knowledge. Like, people know who John Williams is. They know that music. Do you want the list? Star Wars, Harry Potter, Jurassic Park, E.T. Like, he has scored some of the biggest films ever and made those films in some ways.
I am not saying that he should not be on the list. I'm just saying, if we're going in terms of you know, if you're basing your list a little bit about popularity and knowing the person, then he wouldn't be on the list. If you're going cultural, you know, cultural importance, yes, by far.
I think a lot of more people know who John Williams is than you give credit for.
I'm probably wrong. Usually am.
Who's in your honorable mention?
So I got John Travolta. Didn't really want to put him on there, but I feel like
I felt the same way about John Travolta, but not really in our lifetimes. He hasn't really been in that many, besides Pulp Fiction. He hasn't really been in that many big movies in our lifetime.
I do have John Wayne, John Denver. I put John Bon Jovi. I'm on a music kick. John Favreau. And then I have John Goodman, but
I could see John Goodman. I don't think that John Favreau. Maybe. The problem is that he shifted a little bit more behind the scenes.
I mean, your number one was a guy who's done nothing but be behind the scenes.
Yeah, but he was so good at it that he broke out. I don't think John Favreau has done that yet. I wanted to put Elton John on there. I don't know if that quite counts, though. He is a John in a way.
No, that doesn't count.
Pretty much nobody else. I mean, I think the historical Johns, if you went with it, the people that like had influences before our lifetimes, John F. Kennedy.
Herbie Hancock.
Who?
John Hancock. You know the joke out of Tommy Boy, Herbie Hancock. No,
I don't. Sorry.
Okay.
That's the worst when you tell a joke that nobody gets.
It is the worst.
John Hancock, though. But I would say John F. Kennedy is probably... If you polled people maybe who are in their 50s and older, he would be number one.
He'd be up there for sure. Definitely.
John Wayne would too. I have a rant about John Wayne. Do you want to hear my John Wayne rant?
Sure.
I have always been fascinated that he became like the epitome of American manliness, patriotism, and all those kind of things. Like, he became the epitome of manliness, serving your country. But he didn't actually fight in the war. He became famous for making movies about a war that he didn't fight in.
I mean, because he was that good of an actor, I guess. There were plenty of World War II actors that actually went into the war and came out and were superstars. I wouldn't say John Wayne defined manliness.
He was famous, though, for being like the American man. And he didn't fight in the war where so many other people. I just find that fascinating that he's held up as this virtue of like, man, but yet he didn't go fight in the war when everybody else did.
Who is the epitome, as you said multiple times already, of American manliness to you now?
Like a man's man?
Like right a man's now? Man.
I don't think anybody. I don't think that there's anybody that you would point to now and say like that's the epitome of American manliness, a man's man across all things.
I would agree with you.
Okay, that's going to go ahead and do it for this episode of Profoundly Pointless. I want to thank you so much for joining us. If you get a chance, leave us a quick review. We really appreciate it. Really helps us out. And let us know who you think are some of the best Johns. I really think that if you did this list over the last 100 or 200 years, the list is completely different. But Johns have kind of fallen off in the last couple of decades. I don't think that we have as strong of Johns right now as we did in the past. Except for John Candy. I mean, John Candy's fantastic.